With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Today's episode has been sponsored by Jay McLaughlin. Jay McLaughlin is a timeless lifestyle brand with incredible style and a spirit of connection. I am obsessed with Jay McLaughlin and have been so honored that they are sponsoring my Zibbyverse tour. It just so happens that the tour goes to so many communities and areas of the country that have Jay McLaughlin stores. And I love that the brand is philanthropic through Jay McLaughlin's
local and loyal programming.
Host store events to give back to organizations that are meaningful to Jay McLaughlin's local communities. I also love the fact that the clothes are just so chic. They make me feel polished and modern. And the best part is that most of the line comes in fabrics that don't wrinkle. I especially love the dresses, the cashmere sweaters, the other sweaters. You'll see them all over my Instagram. I typically tag at Jay McLaughlin. And so you can check it out. It is absolutely one of my favorite brands, and I am over the moon excited to be working with them. In fact, I want to share the love with all of you. Jay McLaughlin is giving 20% off new customers and listeners of my podcast with special code ZIBBY20. Capital ZIBBY 20. That's 20% off for new customers and listeners of the podcast with special code capital Z Zibby 20. Take advantage of it today. My favorites are this white open long cashmere sweater that I've been wearing on every flight that I've taken on this tour. I have a blue with light blue horizontal striped sweater, several dresses I even wore on Good Morning America. Check it out, Jay McLaughlin. Thanks so much.
Hi, I'm Zibby Owens, and you're listening to the award-winning podcast, Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books. If you like this podcast, you will love my new anthology called Moms Don't Have Time to Have Kids. Check it out, and you'll hear from 49 authors about all sorts of things moms don't have time to do. All the authors have been on this podcast. Also, check out my TikTok, at with Zibby and Tracy, my other podcast, Sex Talk with Zibby and Tracy. Check out Moms Don't Have Time to Write on Medium. And of course, my new publishing company called Zibby Books. And now back to our daily author interview site and a quick hello from some of my kids.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
Enjoy the show. I had so much fun interviewing Joe Piazza and Christine Pride, who are the co-authors of We Are Not Like Them, a novel. I actually did this interview, although you won't hear much from her, with Sherry Puzzi from my team. She runs Moms Don't Have Time to Grieve, and she's at What Sherry Reads. So Sherry and I didn't want to show up alone to this duo interview. So Sherry and I had a chat with Joe and Christine, and then we found out, we interviewed them the day before the launch of their book, and then found out that it has been chosen as the GMA Book Club pick. So we're really, really excited about that and wish them so much congratulations. And this interview, the video portion of this interview will be on the GMA Book Club Instagram account, so you can watch us having so much fun. But anyway, Christine Pride is a writer, editor, and longtime publishing veteran. She has held editorial posts at many different trade imprints, including Doubleday, Broadway, Crown, Hyperion, and Simon & Schuster. As an editor, Christine has published a range of books with a special emphasis on inspirational stories and memoirs, including numerous New York Times bestsellers. As a freelance editorial consultant, she does select editing and proposal content development, as well as teaching and coaching, and pens a regular column, Race Matters, for Cup of Joe. She lives in New York City. Joe Piazza is an award-winning journalist, editor, and podcast host. Her work has appeared in the New York Times, The Wall Street Journal, CNN, Marie Claire, Glamour, and other notable publications. She's also the author of Charlotte Walsh Likes to Win, How to Be Married, The Knockoff, Fitness Junkie, and If Nuns Ruled the World. She hosts three podcasts now, which she talks about, including Committed, which is one of my favorites, and Under the Influence, and is starting a new one. And she also lives in Philadelphia with her husband and two small children, although I feel like she just moved to New York. But anyway, here they are. Welcome, Christine and Joe. Thank you so much for coming on Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books to discuss We Are Not Like Them.
Oh, we're so happy to be here.
Thank you for having us. Yeah, this is one of our first day before launch. This is our first day before launch day interview. So, yeah.
Wow. First on the day before the launch. I'm honored. And I'm here today with Sherry Pusey, who is the head of Moms Don't Have Time to Grieve and on our team and also at What Sherry Reads. And as I said, she's a fan, so she's here listening. So anyway, just so you know, I didn't want to feel overwhelmed that there were two of you and just one of me. So I had to bring them in.
A one-on-one situation is always better.
Right. It's like Canadian doubles, right? It's like you need a doubles partner. So anyway, here we are. Okay. So We Are Not Like Them. Can you please tell listeners what this book is about? Let's hear the elevator pitch. And then what inspired you to write it, and especially together?
All right. So we trade. We take turns on doing our elevator pitch.
And our meet cute.
And our meet cute.
Will probably happen next. Yeah, exactly.
So We Are Not Like Them is a story about the lifelong friendship between two women, Jen and Riley. Riley is a Black woman. Jen is a white woman. And they grew up in Philadelphia together. They've been friends since they were in daycare. And as they've grown up, their lives have changed. They've changed. They've grown a little bit apart, but still stayed really close. And as they're adults, and as we open the book, Jen's husband, who is a Philadelphia police officer, shoots an unarmed Black teenager. And Riley is the newscaster who has to cover this tragic. And the book follows what happens to their friendship through the lens of this tragedy. But it's constantly focusing on how the two women are coping with the issues of race between them in their relationship and how the incident does challenge everything that they thought they knew about each other and everything they thought they knew about their friendship. And we decided to write it together a while ago. I mean, it's been maybe 3.5 years.
Spring 2018.
In the trenches, writing this book. And now we can't believe that it's finally coming into the world this week. It's insane to us.
It's very exciting. Yes. Daunting, nerve-wracking, exciting.
All the things.
All right, so now the meet cute. Now that you've queued that up.
So actually met when I was her editor at Simon & Schuster. I spent the last 20 years as a book editor.
Which is crazy because she's like 25. And so it's like she busted through the space.
I started in middle school working at Random House. But so I was Joe's editor for her novel. And we worked so well together on that, not only professionally, but we just had this spark that, you know, that we felt like we had so much in common and we were just going to be friends. And then we worked on another project together, which was a tie-in to the television show Younger, which I'm sure a lot of your listeners have watched since it's set in the world of publishing. Although I wish I had a wardrobe budget like Hillary.
What's her name? The star? Oh my God, I'm forgetting her name. Sutton Foster.
Yeah. For the show.
Actually, I'm about to interview her too.
Oh, no way. I'll read back to Younger. Oh, that's so funny.
I'm interviewing her tomorrow. And I also interviewed the author of the book Younger, which became...
Yes, Pamela.
The TV show. The world is small.
Just to name drop a little, thought I'd throw that in. But okay,
so
go ahead.
I published Marriage Vacation, which was the tie-in that was published on the show. And I published it at Simon & Schuster. And I needed a writer for it. And Joe's good and fast. And so fast. I asked Joe to do it because we had 4 weeks to turn this book around to have it come out, you know, with the
4 weeks?
Yes. Production schedule. Maybe 5, like 4 weeks to write and a week to edit.
We wrote Marriage Vacation in 4 weeks.
It was fast and over a holiday. So we were really in the trenches together and sort of the editor, author roles broke down in all sorts of ways. And we were both just kind of in this Google Doc, fast and furious. And we worked really well together on that. So when we finished that project, we started thinking about what else we could potentially collaborate on. And I'd had this idea sort of kicking around for a while as editors. You know, you're always having book ideas. Normally, you're not thinking that you're going to write them, but they're sort of always simmering. And one was a novel about an interracial relationship, a friendship between a Black woman and a white woman that was affected by a police shooting. And this was, you know, I feel like these police shootings go in harrowing waves, right? Like the headlines, you know, there's a rash of them. This is one of those times in spring 2018. So it just felt like the time was ripe and that we had a really good opportunity in terms of tackling this subject. And that if we paired together as a Black woman and a white woman, there was a unique opportunity to bring our different experience and perspectives to the table in a way that, you know, the book would be richer rather than either of us trying to tackle it alone. And we could do something really different and special and unique.
And we did it. I think when Christine first proposed it too, I think she was like, well, this will be, let's just see if it works. And I was like, oh no, we're going to sell this book. Great. Fantastic. And so we did it.
Well, and I was busy. I mean, we're both really busy. Like working a really demanding, you know, day job at Simon & Schuster mm-hmm. at the time. And so it did feel like, okay, we'll get some words down on the page and, you know, kind of take it from there. And then it really, we were into it. Once we got into that Google Doc, which at first was a Word doc.
Christine, because no one in publishing likes technology. They just hate it so much. And so I had to drag Christine kicking and screaming into the world of Google Docs. Although I will say, an executive, I've been shitting on Microsoft so often in these interviews that an executive at Microsoft reached out yesterday.
No.
And was like, you should really try our new 365 software because it's great for collaboration. And I'm like, oh. Okay.
Now our next book is sponsored by Microsoft, you guys.
We'll take it.
Yeah, I know. I feel like there's always something wrong with me when I can't do the track changes properly. And how do I, am I supposed to accept all of them? Or can I just ignore them and they go in? Do they go in or do they not go in? I don't know. Then I'm like, do I stop life and do a tutorial on it? And then I don't know. Anyway. Oh, well. Well, part of what's so interesting about this book is the friendship angle and how everybody, not everybody, how the both women are so open about all of their own issues and then how they all come together. And I see that you dedicated it to your friends. And I know, Christine, you wrote recently this whole race matters. How can I talk about race without getting it wrong? And I just love the dedication to sort of working through friendship and not letting anything sort of stand in the way. Mm-hmm. So do you do this with your own friendships? Like, yes.
Yeah.
Do you go to like the hard places a lot? And like, what was it like manufacturing this one?
Well, first and foremost, we wanted this mm-hmm. to be a friendship novel. I mean, this is why the book is dedicated to our friends. I mean, that's just always been such an important part of our lives. I mean, obviously our relationship with each other, but even before we met, we really believe in the power of female friendship, and I'd be lost without all of my friends. And so,
and we don't think it's celebrated enough
exactly
on the page. It's so much, there's so much just like romance and marriage, and also like the narrative that your marriage and romance saves everything in your life. And that's not true. Let's be honest. Like, it's our friendships that save our life. I mean, look, my husband's fine. He's fine. Love him. But it is my girlfriends who have been propping me up and getting me through the day for the past 40 years.
And so we really, and especially a long-term friendship, there's something really special about that. I mean, Riley and Jen have been friends, you know, since they were so little, and that's not something you can recreate in adulthood. So there's something really particular about that. But also it has its own set of challenges, and that when you've been friends with somebody for so long, you see them through so many different iterations and versions of themselves, right? And so by the time you get to adulthood, for better or worse, you have this, you know, kind of long, long, long history to either hold against the person, which I think comes up sometimes in long-term friendships, or to be a witness into that person to remind them who they are. And that comes up a lot in the relationship between Riley and Jen on the page, right? Like, how much are you allowed to change in your friendships, and how much is the special part of it that you're the same, or your friendship is at least the same?
And I love what you said about the friendship being a witness to your life, because I think that's what we all want, what we all crave. I mean, even I think the reason that all of us are so obsessed with social media, right? We want someone else to see what we're living and how we're living, and to have that friend that has been with you through all of those things. It's an incredibly special person. And we both think it's worth preserving, even if you have to go to uncomfortable places to keep that person in your life.
I think that's why I've had a few friends who I lost at a young age. And I think that's part of the pain is that then your collective memory is gone. Like the other day, I'm like, remember that when I went to that like college visit? Wait, but I can't even call her to find out any of those details, which of course I can't remember because I've lost my entire memory at this point. So you lose that shared history. I was also telling my kids yesterday, I went to visit one of my oldest friends. Well, I have a lot of old friends, but this particular old friend of mine has ALS and it's been very sad and she's been sick for many years. So I was trying to say as I was visiting, like, they're like, well, do you hang out with her a lot? I was like, no, I didn't used to hang out all that much, but we are really old friends. There is nothing like that. Yeah. Like, and they didn't, I mean, of course, they're like 6 and 8, so they didn't totally grasp the concept, but you know, but there's nothing like it. So anyway.
It's not. There actually isn't. And especially as we get older and, you know, you get very into your career and your marriage and having kids. My best friend lives in Nashville. I see her once a year, but I've been friends with her for 21 years since I was 18, longer than that, since I was 18 years old. And so that shared history, I think, often means a lot more than, you know, the friends that you make later in adulthood, too.
I thought it was really interesting in your book, though, the financial differences between friends and how you address those too. And I just wanted to read this one section, if that's okay.
Yeah, please. Yeah.
Okay, so Jen and Riley are talking about the differences in their money situations and IVF and all that. And so Riley is saying, you can try again, right? No, we can't, Jen sighed. You can. You will, I insisted. What will it take for you to try again? There was a long stretch before she spoke. Money. We're already like 30 grand in debt. 30 grand, I repeated, taking in the staggering number. It was more than my annual salary and my first job out of college, working as a scrub reporter in Joplin, Missouri. And it was an insane amount of money to spend on something that didn't seem to be working at all. They still didn't have a baby. But I made up my mind not to judge. Besides, I'd never seen Jen like this. It was painful to witness someone you love want something so desperately and to watch as each miscarriage fundamentally altered her, made her more fragile and bitter. Gigi said it was like Jen's spirit itself was withering like forgotten fruit. There was only one thing to do. How much do you need?
I almost cried listening to that.
We've actually never heard anybody else read but each other. Wow, that was really...
I could keep going. I could just... I'll flip through and we could just stay here all day. It's a beautiful sentiment. I mean, you know, like that... Anyway, tell me about that element of it.
This is a book that deals with so many different issues about race and social justice, but that's a lot of what we've been interviewed about, and that seems to be the headline for this book. But frankly, it's also about other things. It's very much about the class difference between the two women and the socioeconomic status of the two women, and how money can come between friends is a big issue, and also how parenthood can come between friends. Riley doesn't understand Jen's fertility struggles because she is just not there yet in her life. She's so focused on her career. And Jen doesn't understand why Riley is so focused on her career and her ambition, because it's just never been a muscle that she's wanted to flex. And I think that there are so many of us have those fundamental differences between our friends. And also the question that Riley asks is Jen going to leave me behind now that she's married and she's going to have this baby? And part of that is why Riley tries to pull away from Jen a little bit too. It's self-preservation. So all of these things are happening in the friendship that have nothing to do with the aspect of race or with the police.
There's always a lot. I mean, how can you piece apart one event or one aspect? Just like you can't put it together why you're friends to begin with, right? It's just an unspoken combination of whateverness.
Yeah.
Well, how's that for articulate?
One thing we always talk about is, you know, would Riley and Jen be friends if they met today, right? And I think we think of that a lot about our own friendships, the people in our lives just in general, right? Like, you know, depending on when you meet somebody, where you are in your life, that can sometimes be the springboard for a bond or not, right? The whole timing is everything sort of thing, which was the case when Joe and I met. And so it's just kind of an interesting thing to think about and what your friendship can survive, right? So there's all these changing roles when one person becomes a mother or a wife and one person doesn't, or that you both do and your lives, you know, kind of diverge because you're busy or what have you, or one person's career takes off and the other person's doesn't, right? There are all these kind of dividing lines in any kind of relationship. And so the tension, the universal tension there is, you know, what can this friendship survive? And then in our case with Riley and Jen, there's also the added layer of this particular thing happening that doesn't necessarily happen to them in their relationship, but has a profound effect on their relationship. And the question then is, can they survive that too on top of everything else?
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
This message is sponsored by Greenlight. As kids get older, some things about parenting can get easier. I mean, not many, but some. But others don't, like having conversations about money. Point is, kids won't really know how to manage their money unless they're actually in charge of it, and that is where Greenlight can help. Greenlight is a debit card and money app made for families. Parents can send money to their kids and keep an eye on their kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens build money confidence and lifelong financial literacy skills. With the Greenlight app, kids can learn how to save, invest, and spend wisely, thanks to games that teach money skills in a fun and accessible way. I got Greenlight debit cards for my kids. The greatest thing, you can actually add their photos that take up half the card. So when I handed the cards to the kids, they were like, this is so exciting. So they look great. Unfortunately, I only put the required 2 cents on at the beginning to make sure they worked. So the kids were like, well, what should I spend my 2 cents on? Anyway, millions of parents and kids are learning about money on Greenlight. It's the easy, convenient way for parents to raise financially smart kids and families to navigate life together. Sign up for Greenlight today and get your first month free when you go to greenlight.com/Zibby. That's greenlight.com/Zibby to try Greenlight for free. Greenlight.com/Zibby.
Well, and also you don't only delve into their friendship, you go into the actual marriages. Like you go into what that's like and those intimate conversations and like regret and, you know, should this have happened? And I, you know, all the stuff of that you, doesn't necessarily leave the house.
Yeah.
It doesn't leave the house or the bedroom. That was one of our really important goals with We Are Not Like Them, was to bring the reader inside these very intimate spaces and intimate conversations that you don't typically see. And also then to get inside our characters' heads. That was the whole reason we did this book first person. It was originally written third person. We changed it literally at the last minute.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
Joe called me one day and said, are you sitting down? I think I should rewrite the book in first person. Like, you should have given me more time to not only sit down, but also to
I should have said, like, are you drinking vodka?
Yeah. Sitting down was not enough to take all that head.
No. But we did it, and it's better. It's better because you get in these very intimate conversations. You get to see what someone thinks and then what they say, which can be two totally different things.
And I think that's interesting on an individual level, right? Or universal level with both of the characters. I think that always happens, right? What you say, I think maybe two different things. But on top of that, the race component here, the race angle, you know, Joe is privy to conversations that I am not privy to. People will say things in front of her that they wouldn't say in front of me as a Black woman and vice versa. And so that was a unique strength in terms of our writing this book together, because we can bring those conversations to the table that we've both heard. And then we want people to witness these kind of conversations and then practice them themselves, right? Like, use this book as a jumping off point to go back to their friends, families, social networks, and have these kind of conversations.
Wow. So Christine, are you no longer an editor, or like, what's your path now in life?
Status now?
Yeah. What's the status?
That's a really good question. And maybe a whole separate podcast. What is Christine's future?
as someone that can't stop making podcasts, I love
that. I know, right? It's a very live journey, lots of tension, dramatic twists and turns. I'm still working as a consultant at Simon & Schuster. I have some of the books that I acquired before I left, and some of my beloved authors who have books that are recently come out or forthcoming. And then Joe and I are working on book two. So
I'm
still wearing lots of different hats right now, which is exciting and interesting. And I think, you know, as busy as we both may be doing all these different types of projects, we wouldn't have it any other way, right? Like, that's just how we kind of thrive and move in the world. And so it's nice to just be storytelling ourselves, helping other people tell stories, championing other writers. I mean, it's fun.
It's great. It's, and you know, during all of the hectic craziness of a book launch, it's nice to have each other, because we're both like, why don't you take a step back and freaking enjoy it? Mm-hmm. Because this is awesome. And so we're doing what we love, which is telling stories and getting to talk about books all day. Mm-hmm. Like, that's pretty cool.
This sounds really familiar.
As you all know.
No, I mean, it's true. The other day I was like editing, I have this memoir coming out next summer, and all day I had to be like in the document, like, because I had so much to do and I had a deadline, whatever. And after, I was like, oh my gosh, I spent like 8 hours or 7 hours in the document today. And I was like, this is what other writers do every day.
Yeah.
Like a bunch of authors, I posted, I think, and somebody was like, yeah, I'm a writer. You know, this is what I do. I'm like, I couldn't do that. Like, I need all these different inputs. I need to be like in it, right? It sounds like you guys operate the same way. Like, some people can just do one, you know, not that it's bad. It's just the different way different people's brains work in different ways, you know?
Yeah, we don't have to tell you about wearing a lot of hats, Sylvia. That's for sure. I don't know how you do it. So many different things. But
no, I'm just, you know, I feel like we need a better expression, right? Because wearing a lot of hats makes it seem like you're not really...
That's true.
You know what I mean?
Come from?
I'm no, so not to curious. Criticize the expression. I'm just like thinking about it.
You know, like, I'm totally criticizing it. I'm like, who is wearing all these? Who has that much room?
And are they on top of each other? Is it like caps for sale? You know, or
19th century?
And what kind of caps are they?
Are we wearing fedoras or these like baseball caps? I don't know. Yeah, I think that this is just the way some people. You need the inputs to have the output. That's all. You know,
and I think that's why we're writers and book editors, because I mean, the beauty of it is that you're getting exposed to lots of different ideas, topics, subject, you know, cultures, zeitgeist, like what's happening. Like for people like us who need a lot of, you know, kind of stimulation and have a lot of curiosity, to have different things hitting you all at once, mm-hmm. right? From all these different sources. And it's very dynamic. And I think then you can thrive in that, because that sparks more creativity, more inspiration, and more drive. I mean, Joe is the hardest working person I know. And so it's actually really great to be partnered with somebody who is so hardworking, because it pushes you in the best possible way, right? And to have a collaboration like this, you do have to have a certain sensibility, right? Like a common work ethic or way to work. Otherwise, you know, it wouldn't work. And so I really appreciate that Joe and I are both very driven type A people in the best possible way.
It doesn't work if you're not.
Right.
I can tell you that firsthand. And I say this all the time. Christine is the only person that I will collaborate with going forward, because I think we do complement each other in that we both have very busy lives. And when one of us needs to drop a ball, the other one picks it up. Like, there's no question about it. And I'm never afraid. I'm never afraid to be like, I've got to go on vacation, or I've got a sick kid, because I know that Christine is always going to be there.
I love that you said I've got to go on vacation. Like it was another thing
I
on your to-do list.
To go.
You're like, I gotta go on vacation. Even her vacations are on her to-do list.
Yeah. It's stressful to go on vacation because you have to organize so much before you go and then you've got to catch up and you have the plans. I don't know.
I'm very serious on vacation.
Yes.
But Joe, so what about you? You have another two books of this, you know, are they the same characters? No, different, something totally different.
Totally different. We just, Christine and I keep coming up with more ideas. So we're like, we'll do this as long as people want to read them. We love, like, we just love writing together. And so we're about 100 pages deep into the new novel. And then we have an idea for another one. And I'm right now focusing pretty intently on these books, but then also the podcasts. I now have 3 podcasts.
I can't keep track.
Going simultaneously, committed, under the influence, and I'm launching a new podcast about podcasts, which is the most meta thing that has ever happened in the world.
So what are you calling that?
It's the Pod Club. It's called the Pod Club, and it launches in December with iHeart, and it's great, actually. We'll have to have you on. And then, you know, focusing on, I've got still got 2 smallish kids. So I've got a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old, and then they're trying not to let my marriage fall apart. So I think that's enough. That's enough. Maybe we'll get a hamster.
Just to add, because we need one more thing.
We happened to have been at Petco this weekend and accidentally picked up a hamster costume for Halloween.
That's what you need. Just stick with that costume.
Stick with the actual lie.
Yes. My son thought it was a dog costume. Mind you, it's of a hot dog, but you know, we got it in the car. Crazy that I even let this purchase go through. But I was like, it's not going to fit a lab. It's this big. What on earth? Anyway, it's fine. It's all good. So
can't wait for those Instagram pictures.
Okay. Sorry. We're like already running over. What advice would you have for aspiring authors?
So my advice that I give a lot is because people ask us all the time. They're like, I have a book idea. I have a story idea. Is I genuinely believe that writing anything is a muscle that you have to develop. Talent is like 10% of it. And so if you have something that you want to write, you really need to commit to it and say, okay, I'm going to start writing 500 words, 1,000 words every single day for an entire month. And even if it's terrible, even if it's crap, even if I'm hungover or I have to bang it out on my phone. And if you can't do it nearly all of those days, you probably don't want to do it. Because this is a job and it is a commitment. And the writing also only gets better when you revisit it every day, because that's when the characters live in your head. So that's what I tell people. And some people have gone on to write an entire novel or a screenplay after that. And other people, mostly men, have been like, I'm not a writer. And I'm like, of course you're not. I knew that. So I'm glad you tried.
My advice would be, and this is a PSA for editors and editing, is just that, you know, you really need to get feedback on your work. It's really, I mean, as much as you can, you know, sit and write alone and do your 1,000 words a day or what have you, eventually you're going to have people read this book. And that getting an objective opinion on both just a reaction from people in your circles and readers, but also if you can get a professional assessment or opinion, really, really can help. Because it's one thing to write a solid first draft, but it's another thing to really be committed to refining and refining and refining. And it's really hard to do in a vacuum. And so getting great feedback from other people is just a really good next step, preliminary step, wherever you are in the process.
We still do, even though we have each other, even when we were working on this proposal for the next book, even before we gave it to our agent, we hired an outside editor to read it. And I think it's really important to pay someone to read it too, because all your friends can read it and they're all just going to drool all over you and tell you you're great because they don't want to end your friendship right then and there. But if you're paying someone, they really put in the work and they put in the time.
Which is not to say, though, that you can not get a book published without paying for it. I mean, if you have the resources, that's great. But I also, you know, want people to feel not discouraged that I can't ever get a book published unless I can spend, you know, hundreds or thousands of dollars to make it better. And that's not the case, especially in a writing group, right, where people can give each other, giving feedback to another person can actually just be as beneficial as getting feedback yourself. And so that can be a nice quid pro quo to, you know, partner with somebody and give each other feedback on your work. And then it's free. Yeah, so you have options.
I just wrote this essay because, like you, like a lot of people have been like, oh, you know, you're in publishing. What can I do? So I wrote this whole long thing because I was like, I can't answer everybody. I'm going to just do it once. Here you go. Here's what mm-hmm. I would say to you. But one thing I basically said is like, if you're not comfortable showing it to people to read it, you probably should not be trying to publish your book anyway.
Right.
No.
That's the whole goal is, right? Like, you should then, great, have a, you know, keep it to yourself. Sure. Anyway, whatever. All right. Thank you guys. This was so fun.
Awesome.
Thank you for giving us the honor of the, you know, headline on day before, you know, publication eve. So, you know.
So surreal.
It's crazy.
All right. Congratulations.
Thank you guys.
Good luck.
Thanks for having us.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books. Don't forget to follow me on Instagram at Zibby Owens and at Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books. Also sign up for my newsletter at ZibbyOwens.com and sign up for my virtual book club and meet lots of authors on Zoom every other week. Thanks so much to Steve and Ryan at Texture Sound for the sound editing. And thank you to Morning Moon Productions for providing this fantastic intro and outro music.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.